Welcome to the Granary Church podcast. We're happy you could join us. For more information on the Granary Church, head to granary.org.au or follow our socials at the Granary Church.
All right, do you want to stand up? Let's just pray. You've been sitting down for a little bit. It's good to use your body. I'm a teacher, so I just know that if you sit for too long, then, you know, like, we have comfy chairs here. Has anyone been to the third world to a church and you sit on the floor or on something, you're like, it's hard to fall. So anyway, let's stand up, engage our bodies, and let's just pray together. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for Pedro's testimony. And Lord, thank you for just that his awareness of the power of the Word of God, the power of Jesus, and the fact that the spirit realm is real and that you are working in and among us in ways that we can't see. And so tonight, Lord, we want to acknowledge your presence, whether we've felt you from the get-go or we haven't felt you for years. Lord, we want to thank you that you are here with us, Lord. If we're struggling with unbelief, Lord, and our desire is to believe, Lord, help our unbelief. Help us to believe tonight, to trust that you are here with us, that you love us and you are speaking to us. And so, Lord, right now, each one of us, we give you permission to speak to us tonight, Lord, through your word. Lord, through our minds and through our hearts, and we thank you for your presence here tonight, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can grab a seat. Out of curiosity, who has had some sort of wild spiritual experience before? How much people? Cool. Very, very cool. Let's have a night where we just tell stories sometime. I got some stories. All right. Tonight, we're looking at how Jesus transforms lives, and I don't want to talk about worship, but just I can say that to talk about worship, there's like I could talk for days and weeks and months. Like there's just so much. So we're going to touch on like a little bit, okay? And I just really just something I hope that encourages you and blesses you. And I actually feel like I've got a billion things that I could share, but just praying that God just whatever it is that God wants to speak to you tonight, that is the one thing that will land, and that will encourage you in your apprenticeship to Jesus, in your following Him. As someone who trusts Jesus and is becoming more and more like him every day. And I want to start by talking about a man. And some of you might know this man well. And he traveled and he shares this new gospel of joy. And he was gifted and prolific. And he was celebrated by some and hated by others. And he often arrived in places unannounced. People didn't know he was coming. And he gave his followers very little time to work out where he was going to be. He was cryptic, often left people puzzled about what it was that he was saying. He filled houses and different venues. People waited outside to see him, trying to catch a glimpse of him, trying to hear his message, to hear what it was that he was producing. And he spoke of adoration and of joy and of peace. He even spoke of lament, and people sacrificed to see him. Some people sacrificed a lot. They'll travel or it'll cost them. Because do you know who I'm talking about? It's not Jesus, it's Fred again, or Fred Gibson, who some of you might know him and some might not. And this is the thing. He does all these things I just said, but it sounds like Jesus. And people are flocking to see him because he's from England and he suddenly arrived in Australia. He's this producer who writes some great music. And actually this morning after church, Leon, who's two, my son, as we're going home, I was driving intentionally so he would fall asleep. And I was like, what do you want to listen to? And he said, Fred again. That's what you want to listen to. So it helps. But he will do all these things and people will flock to see him. In Melbourne, he had a rave at 9 a.m. the other morning. People like dancing with iced lattes, like not alcohol or drugs. Like they were just like enraptured, having a great time. He did a surprise gig somewhere and there were more people outside the venue than inside the venue. People there just desperate to see him, to catch a glimpse of him. He leaves these like little like clues on his Instagram and people will be going, hang on, he's suddenly going to be here and I want to be where he's going to be. He booked out some tiny little venue out in like the middle of Wales or Scotland or somewhere, like a tiny church hall, and put on like a show like they'd never, ever seen. And people are flocking there. And then what do they do when they go to see him? Do they sit and stare? What do? They dance. They move their bodies because his music is good. But it's interesting that people will follow what they adore, what they love, and people will sacrifice because you were made to worship something. I once had a friend who came to church. He was coming, actually, he came a fair bit and was open to, actually, the first time he came, he put $50 in the offering plate. And I was like, mate, you don't have to do that at all. He's like, no, this place is good for Silas, my son. He's like, I want to invest in it. I was like, that is really, really cool. But the time he sort of stopped coming to church, there was one Sunday and people were quite passionate in the worship. And people were singing and dancing and cheering and crying. And afterwards, he was like, it was too emotional. I'm like, I'm not into that. I'm like, I don't know, it's just too much. And I was like, yeah, no, that's fair. And at the time, the Jets were having an amazing run. And I was like, we'd been to a bunch of games together. And I was like, yeah, look, I'm not going to come to any more Jets games, because last time I went to a Jets game, people were like cheering and crying and yelling. It was just too emotional for me. And I'm just not into that anymore. And what? Well, I don't know what I said. There was two offense. Anyway, he was like, yeah, actually, that's very fair. And he came back. And so have you ever been like, people worship, like have you been at a gig and people actually have their hands raised? Have you been like around music and there's some sort of spiritual experience? And you see some artists and some bands and you're like, this actually, there's something spiritually, or people worship, or they long to be near the person. The other example that would have made more sense to a whole lot of you would be Taylor Swift. And she's more of a cult leader. Cleverly, like, you know, no disrespect, but... anyway, I won't. I've only got offensive things to say about her, so I won't do that. No, she's great. My favorite album by her is 1989 by Ryan Adams. So he redid her album. Anyway, a worship is this interesting thing. Like, worship is something people do all around the world in various religions. Sometimes it's religious and sometimes it's not. But for us, when we're talking about worshiping God, we're looking at how do we worship God? Often we think of worship, we think of music. And I remember in the past, people would be like, praise songs are the loud ones and worship songs are the quiet ones. And it's all worship. It's all praise. It's like, whatever. But we're working at how do we worship God? And in some churches, people are very, very quiet and quite reserved and contemplative. In others, people are dancing around. And so we pick our style. I think sometimes we're just sort of, I don't know what we are. Because sometimes it's a bit more exuberant, other times it's a bit more not. And I think sometimes we could have more of either. And we all have different feelings towards that. And there might be a song that comes up on a Sunday and you're like, oh, gee, I hate this song. No one else. Only me? Only me. We all bring, like, we bring ourselves to this. We bring personality and opinion. And it's not like there's just this one-size-fits-all way to worship. But if you're a Christian, you look at it and you go, all Christians worship this way. Like, you can't generalize that. And then you think of your personality. And for some of you, you are an introvert. And when we do, like when we sing together or people move or jump, you're like, please do not ever make me do that. Like, maybe you've even prayed to God and you've seen, have you ever been somewhere sort of a bit more charismatic and people might be moving around and you're like, God, do not ever make me do that. And like, and I promise you, I've actually had those conversations where people seen people dancing. And I'm like, God, please. And I know there's a day that it's going to happen. I just know it, you know, because as soon as there's things you push back on and you're like, oh man. But it's like, well, this is because there's our personality in that. And God actually honors it. He actually loves that. Like, I think there's this rich tapestry of worship because you are a unique being. And you might worship beautifully on your own, and you worship here in community, and God sees it and he loves it. He absolutely loves it. This morning, Eva, my wife, who's up the back, she was leading worship, and it was fantastic. But it was me and the boys, and just because of the way things are with small children, it was chaos trying to get out the door, and you're like a really inconvenient pooey nappy right when we're trying to leave, and yeah, all these things. So we finally get to church, and I'm trying to sign the boys in. I was like, I'm seeing you guys head in. And church is full and everyone's seeing. And I walk in, I can't see either of them. And then someone said, Silas was sort of down standing here because Eva was up here. He was down there looking. And then someone's like, look down the aisle. And Leon, I kid you not, Eva's standing here. And he's standing here like this. like looking, and he's like, "Mom, Mom," and he's like calling out, like, "Mom, hi, hi," and he's like waving and like, "Hi," and poor Eva's there trying to like lead, and she's looking around like trying to sing, and you know, all her like professional trainees coming out, like, "Don't be distracted," you know, and he's just like, "Mom, Mom," because Leon absolutely loves his mum, and when it's him and I at home recently, he will not go to sleep because he's waiting for mum, because he knows that, me. That's not like, oh, that's like, no, it's pain. I tell you, it's like, it's, oh my goodness. And because he knows that when he sees her, she is love. She is love. And he knows that she is comfort. And he knows that she is the provider. And I say, honestly, I wonder the same. I wonder what do I bring to this equation? Because the other day it was him and I. He's like, "I want mummy and I want Silas. But you've got me." So sucked in, mate. Just I want him to learn disappointment early on. So here I am. You know, what can I offer to you, son? Yes. Anyway, that's it. So, but he's like, in a way, he's worshiping because he's like, "I'm here and I want you to acknowledge me. I'm here." Have you done that before when you're worshiping? Like, "God, I'm here. I'm here. Like, I made it to church." For some of you, that is the biggest battle in itself. Man, I want to honor that you actually make it. You get here and you go, "God, I'm here. I don't know how I made it, but I'm here." And you're like crying out. And sometimes when you cry out in worship, maybe loudly or maybe it's all internal, but it's like screaming internally. And there's this desire to worship. So worship really, when it comes to God, worship is our only right and fitting response. When it comes to God, our worship, giving our best, our attention, our bodily response, our mind, our heart, like every element of our being, that is the only fitting response to God. Like, if he is who he says he is, our only response is to worship him. And I do wonder sometimes, why does that mean our response is so lame sometimes? Sometimes we can sit here and just be like, "I'm singing the songs and I'm doing the thing, I don't really care." Because I think there's a disconnect between our understanding of who God is and what he actually requires of us. In John chapter 4, it says this. Jesus meets with a Samaritan woman. There's a whole lot of other things that happen. But then Jesus says, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Location won't matter. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, and so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And I've heard people talk, I remember people talking about this when I was younger, and you go, "I still have no idea what you're talking about." And we can make it such a vague, bizarre thing. The spirit means you can worship God wherever you are. You don't need to be in Jerusalem. You don't need to be on a holy mountain. You can worship him wherever you are. You connect with the spirit and you worship him. But truth, though, is when you know who he really is, it demands a response here. When you have a true knowledge and understanding of who God is, it demands a response from your heart and from your mind and from your body. And so when we worship in spirit and truth, he's saying a time will come when it's not about just being right and we've got all the right things lined up, because Jesus railed against vain worship. People who had all the gear and no idea. Like, they could do all the things. They followed the law. He's like, "But you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping yourselves. You've created something that makes you look really holy and great." He's like, that does not please me. It's absolute rubbish. He's looking for people who go, I'm worshiping here. Like, we worship here together. You worship tomorrow morning on your own. There's real power in worshiping here together. We worship because of the truth of who God is. The truth of who he is. That when you know the truth of who God is, it demands that you respond to him. John Piper said this, the inner essence of worship is to know God truly and then respond from the heart to that knowledge by valuing God, treasuring God, prizing God, enjoying God, being satisfied with God above all earthly things. And then that deep, restful, joyful satisfaction in God overflows in demonstrable acts of praise from the lips and demonstrable acts of serving others for the sake of Christ. So as you come to this knowledge of who God is, it just elicits a response from you. You go, if you are who you say you are, then I can't do anything else but worship you. And then as you worship, it transforms you to be someone who actually wants to go and serve others, when you might think that might be the last thing you want to do. And as God transforms you, he changes you into someone who is more and more like Jesus. But if we don't know who God is, if you worship him, you don't really know who God is, we'll fashion worship and we'll fashion God into sort of something that suits us. And so often that's where we can be looking for like an emotional response, or we can be looking for some sort of spiritual experience because you don't really know the power of who God is. What's really interesting is Jesus worshipped, and his worship manual was the Psalms. And if you look at the Psalms talk about who God is, but they connect with the human person. Like two-thirds of the Psalms are lament. It's like the realness. Have you had moments in worship where you are like you're crying out to God and you're dealing with stuff? I've had phenomenal times in worship where God has done so much heart work, and people around would have no idea except if they looked over and saw that I was a sobbing mess. But that God can do phenomenal things in our times of worship. But the Psalms always talked about who God is. And so Jesus would be praying, seeing Psalms to talk about who God is. And so our knowledge of who God is and what he's done needs to be stronger than us just desiring a feeling. It's a declaration. I'm declaring who you are more than me just wanting to get a feeling. And believing God, I actually believe this is who you are. And there's true power in that declaration. Have you prayed before and you've worshipped and you're like, I'm struggling to believe this right now? I think some of the things we say are like, they're all statements of faith. They're huge statements of faith because we're often seeing them going, I don't feel this right now, but I'm believing this right now. So God is seeking people who worship in spirit and in truth. And I think that's well and good. That is God's desire for us. But for a lot of us, for me, we're in this season of Lent. And is anyone who here is actually doing some form of Lent? You've given up something. There's like a whole bunch of us who are meeting once a fortnight on a Tuesday at the cafe. It's actually been such a powerful, like, rich time. And for the last few years, I've done this. And really, the idea is you're sort of aligning yourself with Jesus in his 40 days in the wilderness. And when you're doing this wilderness time actually reveals so much about yourself. It reveals so much about what you desire, what you need, and what you think you need. Have we got that image? If you look, this is called Christ in the Desert, I think, or Christ in the Wilderness. It's a Russian painter. And it's his depiction of Jesus in the wilderness. And I don't know if you've ever thought about how Jesus looked in the wilderness. And people said to him, well, you don't know how he looked. And he's like, well, you don't know how he looked either. So this is how I feel he looked. Because I imagine that if you hadn't been eating for a few weeks by that stage, you wouldn't be stoked. You wouldn't be walking around going, this is a fantastic time. You'd be feeling hungry and tired. And so Jesus, and he, actually, if you zoom in on the image, you see that his face. It's like he looks like just a man under pressure. You can just see it's taken everything from him. And there's this element of the wilderness that is hard, but the wilderness is a cathedral. The wilderness, have you ever stepped into a European cathedral? What does it do? It makes you feel tiny. Have you stepped into a giant cathedral and you go, I am tiny? And it gives you this picture of the grandeur of God. And it reveals so much about yourself in that too. And so Jesus, I guess, is like in this moment, you wouldn't say that's a high praise moment. Yet there he is worshiping God. And when Satan comes to tempt him, his response is to worship God. That's his response. He fights that battle with worship, showing us that wherever we are, whatever season we're in, that God desires us to be worshiping him. That God actually brings him through that. The victory is actually on the other side of his worship. It's through that worship, through that sacrifice of praise. The Israelites traveling around the wilderness, they would have to set up the tabernacle and they would set up the place where they would be worshiping God. And every time they had to move, they would have to pack everything up and reset it up and do this again. And sacrifice was a key element in their practice. What was interesting is you would bring an animal to be sacrificed. And when the blood hit the altar, it made the blood holy. There's this connection with this life source being made holy. And when you sacrifice, you are connecting with Jesus' sacrifice that actually makes you holy. His sacrifice makes you holy. And he calls us to bring this sacrifice of praise, which I think if you look at someone, well, like he did, that is a sacrifice of praise. And for many of us to come here on a Sunday morning, we're not sitting on a mountaintop going, life is just fantastic. I can't think of another reason to praise God because I've got so many. You're like, it's a sacrifice of praise. It's actually not easy. And maybe I'm up against it. Like Pedro's story is fascinating because there are so many obvious obstacles against his family. That can make a lot of people retreat. You go, it's actually the sacrifice of praise, of declaring the name of God in that, that actually brings about victory. A number of years ago, I was snowboarding in New Zealand with a bunch of guys and we're at the top of this mountain. We have all these photos. We're like, we got to the top and we're all cheering. You know, like it's like, you know, they're sort of I'm on top of the world sort of photo. And there's a whole group of us there together. And we're there going, yeah, life is fantastic. Couldn't be any better. All cheering, all thinking we're, you know, like king of the hill. It's great. And then I'm like, it was the first time I'd ever snowboarded, so it wasn't cool. But I went down, put my board back on, and as I sat down on the snow, I was like, felt my lower back. I was like, that hurts. That's not a good feeling. And I had herniated it before, and I'm sitting there going, I think I might have done the same thing. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to stand up. And I couldn't stand up. And I'm like at the top of this run, it was, you know, those just amazing sort of dream runs, like amazing snow. And I was like excited for it because I'd actually got like decent enough in a few days to be able to do something. And it hurt so bad that I had to just plow down the whole way and hope that no one ran into me. And I just plowed the whole way, super slow, just hoping, please, no one run into me because I think I'll die. And I got to the bottom and I was like, okay, I'm in just a world of pain. I found a plastic bag on the ground, filled it with snow, put it down like, you know, into my back. And I went to see the physio. They're like, sorry, we're shut for the day. I was like, can you please help, like do something, you know, like I'm begging you. They're like, sorry, man, you're going to have to go into town and get some help. And we're at the top of a hill, an hour bumpy road down. And so I just stood and waited for all my friends, or like eight other guys. And I just waited. And it was, you know, there's like from mountaintop. I wasn't even at the valley yet. I was like halfway down and I just waited. And all my friends came down and when they saw me, actually, we got a photo together, which was like the worst because they're like, we need to get a last photo together. And I was like, yeah, cool. Yeah, this is great. They helped me to the car and they took off my boots because I couldn't lift my legs. And they helped me get into the van. And then they drove really carefully down this bumpy mountain. And then they helped me get into a house. And then we were all going for burgers that night, but I couldn't move. And so they went and got me food and they cared for me. They cared for me. And I think there's something so key in this because the mountaintop, I was with a whole lot of people and we were celebrating, praising God together. But when I got to the bottom of the mountain, I wasn't alone because I made sure that I was surrounded by people who were praising God and helping me. They prayed for me. Like the first thing we did, we got to the van and they all just gathered around and prayed. And God didn't take away my pain. And I got home and he didn't take away, back to our accommodation, and he didn't take away the pain. and I had to catch a flight the whole way home, and he didn't take away the pain. And the pain was still there for a while. But we praised God through the middle of it. Actually, eventually, the pain has gone away, which is good. But sometimes we're worshiping and the pain doesn't go away. And God says, don't give up meeting together, worshiping together. There is such power in our unity when you are together. We've sat here in church between people who have loved us while we've been sitting in pain. But we're like, but this is the place that you want to be. This is the place you want to be. And I mean, which is the greater sacrifice? At the top of the hill or the bottom of the mountain? They can actually both be a sacrifice. One's a sacrifice of your attention. The other is just that sacrifice of praise. And I believe that tonight God is saying to us, he's saying to you, really, I want your attention. I want your heart, whether you're on the top of the mountain, whether you're right at the bottom, whether you're in that wilderness season, whatever's happening. Because we can be praising God and seeking something. We can be after healing. We can be after a relationship with someone. We can be in dire straits. We can have all these different issues. And Jesus says the reward for chasing after Jesus is Jesus. That's the reward. The reward for following Jesus is Jesus. And so whether you're at the top of the mountain, Jesus is there with you. And whether you're at the bottom of the darkest valley, Jesus is there with you. And the reward for following Jesus is Jesus. And he's like, that's the truth. If you can get the truth of that is the greatest reward, then it makes the spirit and everything else come alive. Because you're God, I'm worshiping you not to get or to get somewhere or for something. I want your spirit. I want your presence. I want to know you. I feel like it's like Leon down here. He's actually not after anything but of his attention. He's like, I just want you. I just want you to see me. I want you to see me. I want you to know. I want to know that you're with me. That, I mean, eventually he wanted to get up on stage and give her a cuddle. So Jesus wants to transform you. Ignatius says this. I love this. He says, God is love loving. God is love loving. And when we come to worship him, our awareness is that God is love loving. As you worship, this is a strange thing. We feel like we're bringing this sacrifice, and you are. But Jesus is still the servant king who comes down and ministers to us in our worship. He is love loving. And so as we worship together, he knows what your needs are. And he's love loving. We are communing with him. And he says, I'm with you and I love you. And I'm actually giving you what you need. Not always what you want, but I'm giving you what you need. Sometimes it's a way through. Sometimes it's a way forward. Sometimes it's, I'm giving you an awareness of my presence. Maybe it is, I'm giving you my power. He shares his power with us to do phenomenal things. But God is love, loving. And so as we worship, and later on we're going to worship, and I just feel like I can't explain this. Like I can use a whole bunch of words, but I can't give you your own revelation. But the revelation that the reward for following Jesus is Jesus. And if Jesus is God, who love, loving, if that's who he is, then what more could we want than his presence? His presence, which he freely gives. And I know that's a hard one, because you're like, I can think of a whole lot of other things that I want and need right now. All good things. And he's like, could you, maybe even if it has to be a thought experiment to go, okay, God, what would it look like to desire only you and to be content with you? Love, loving, as I'm worshiping, to bring everything to you, go, God, the thing that I want most is you. The reward for following you is you. Like that's the reward. And then our challenge goes, well, that doesn't seem like a great reward. So you go, God, give me a revelation of what a great reward that is. Because I can't explain it with words. God can only bring that through his own revelation for you. And so I just want to pray for you, and then we're gonna worship. But I think for us as a church, honestly, I feel like I've been all over the place. But I really want to pray that you get this revelation of God who is love loving. That the greatest reward for following Jesus is not an answer to prayer. And it's not the thing that you think you know you want most, which God can provide that. But you go, God, what if the answer to my prayer, what if the thing that I actually desire most above anything else is to know that you are the reward for following you, that you are the reward, that to know you, to know your presence, that is actually the greatest reward. That is actually the thing that my heart desires more than anything else. And I can't really explain that in my mind, and I can't really tell my heart that, but God, I want to know that that is actually the thing that I desire more than anything else, just to know you, to be with you. So God, would you give me that revelation? So would you stand with us? We're going to pray. If you want that tonight, if you say, God, I don't really fully understand how that all works, but if you are the reward for following you, then I want to know that that is. I want the truth in my mind to know that that is the thing that I want above anything else. If that's you, maybe you want to put your hands out, put your hand on your heart, do something to say, God, this is actually what I desire above anything else. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that you are loving. And as we worship you, as we commune with you, as we sing to you, as we spend time in your presence, whether it's a sacrifice or a song of joy, Lord, it's you who comes down to minister to us. You are loving. Loving us where we are. Loving us for who we are. Knowing everything about each one of us, and yet you continue to love us. And Lord, while we can't explain it, we can't force it, Lord, would you give us a revelation of the joy of knowing you? That the prize, the reward for following Jesus is Jesus. That you are the ultimate prize, and you are the thing that we desire above answered prayer. Lord, you are actually the thing that we desire. And then you are the one who makes all things good. You don't just leave us hanging, Lord. You actually give us everything that we need. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, would you strengthen our hearts, strengthen our minds as we know who you are, who it is that we worship. You are the God of truth. You are the God who loves us. You are a God who is powerful. You are a God of your word. You stay true to your promise. You are a God who is present with us, not distant. Not just transcendent, but imminent, Lord. You are here with us. You are not far, Lord. You are present. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are the God who is present. Lord, thank you that you have freely given your presence to us tonight. Lord, may we know the joy of being in your presence. Know the joy of worshiping you as you minister to us. Loving, Lord, as we commune with you. Lord, we thank you for your presence here tonight. And we thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that you'll give us a fresh revelation of what it is to worship you. Not under duress. Not as people who just have to force something, Lord, but as a joyful sacrifice, knowing who it is that we worship. Knowing the joy of our salvation is being with you. Your presence. So we thank you. We praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday podcast. If you enjoyed it, either subscribe or follow on the podcast app that you use to keep up to date on when our next Sunday podcast gets released. Have a safe and blessed week.